This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight. I can't believe it's been a year since the sports world shut down with COVID-19. And I bring in Dave, whose internet, again, has let him down.
Hang on a second here. Okay, and good morning to you. My internet did nothing of the sort. It was an issue with the station's connection, and I'm to blame. You weren't here for the first, was it 30 minutes on Monday? 30 minutes?
28-ish.
Yeah, okay. I missed, what would you say, 12 to 25 seconds there for you?
Good 35-ish.
Was that a lot for you? When you found out that Dave's not going to be there, you got to ride this baby solo, were you like, oh my God, how am I going to deal with this?
Well, no one said it till the music was almost off.
Was there a panic? Was there a stress level?
Well, no, I see you pick up your phone. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, there's no way Dave is making a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning unless it's something bad.
What time are senior shopping hours? Yeah, no, you're right. I had a moment of, oh, my God, because I connected, and RJ's like, you can't be connected. We don't hear you. I'm like, it says on my machine, connected. So now I connected somewhere else, and I would have loved, and this is what I have to deal with every day. Every day, what you just dealt with for 30 seconds of leading the show, bringing us in, you know, running point, that's the norm for me.
But you're the host of the show. This is what you do. This is your role on the show, is to drive the show. You're the rudder of the show. This is like,
is
all of a sudden now you go.
Is a positive term, though? Do you want to be the rudder?
Yes. You're control. I mean, you want to be the captain? Whatever.
Captain,
you're steering
the
ship.
Captain of the ship, yeah.
Okay, you can be the captain. You're steering the ship. You're the skipper, okay? And I'm Gilligan. And all of a sudden now I got to step in a Gilligan. Gilligan's got to step in a skipper's role.
You didn't love that, did
two
you?
Clown pirates.
You didn't love that. So, Canty not with us today. He's got his side piece today.
Yes.
He's on. So you all have your side pieces, except for me. Except I'm the only one truly, honestly committed to this very show.
What do you mean? You have two separate side pieces. You have the Rothenberg solo show, the Dave Rothenberg show, and then you get your Fugazi hockey show.
Yeah, I have other outlets. I have other outlets, but my main purpose at this station is this show. Chris, you can't say that, right? You can't say that. He's not with us Thursdays because he does get up. So you can't say that this is his only priority. He prioritizes something else on Thursdays. And you prioritize Kay. The K show.
No, that's a different relationship.
No.
I mean, that's outside of working.
I think you are more committed to the K show than you are, in fact, to the show. Every time I watch the K show, every single time I watch the K show or listen to the K show, it's, I got a text from Rick DiPietro. Oh, look at this. I've received a text from Rick DiPietro. Oh, this is what Rick says. And it's amazing to me because I can text Michael during the course of the show and never once does it make it on air. You text Michael during the course of the show and it doesn't matter. Like, they could have Bob Costas on. And they could be in the midst of, so tell, he did that during the 98 season, Bob? That's unbelievable. And they'd be like, hang on a second, Bob. Went McGuire, you know, whatever, Sosa, put it to the back burner. Rick DiPietro's just chimed in, and he says this. It is unbelievable, the clout you carry with this man.
We have an inappropriate DiPietro text. Hold on one second, Bob.
They're all inappropriate. And I think the beautiful thing for you is, you don't have to be the filter. You see, if you're here and you're on this show, you have to be somewhat appropriate because if you say it and it's really awful, you're going to get in trouble. But on the K show, you say it, it's really awful, but now Michael is your filter. So you, I mean, you know your commitment level to that show is at a higher level than it is to this show. And,
no,
and
I disagree.
Think most would agree.
No, I disagree. I mean, this is I'm sitting down, I'm eating dinner, and I'm watching the K show.
What, do you have a 4-hour dinner?
No, I don't have a 4-hour dinner, but I mean, usually when I if you notice, when I start, you know, texting him is usually around when the DPHs are eating dinner.
So 4:35 o'clock. You have dinner with the K show and you're sitting there with your kids. How was your day? What's going on? What did Mrs. Smith have to say about your geography test? And you're just sitting there not paying attention to them and you're just focused on the Michael K show?
No, I'm not focused on the Michael K show. I mean, it's in the background. The kids like it. They know what I mean. They think it's the radio. That's what they call it. Oh, the radio's on. It's Michael K. They love the K show.
Who doesn't love the K show? That's the point.
Well, what is the point exactly?
The point is, Canty's commitment is elsewhere. Your commitment is elsewhere. I'm the only one who's fully all in committed to this very show.
And yet I'm the one that had to open up today's show.
Well, because there was
no
an internet connection issue with the Comrex in the station.
See, and I always found that.
As I got connected, I felt sorry for you. It was bland. It was boring. Like, no wonder they didn't ask you to host the hockey show. I heard something about the Nets was thrown in there. It was just, I felt like, thank God I got on as quickly as I did.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I almost shut my machine down. But that's what I struggle with the most. I'm not even joking to you. Like, so I've had the opportunity to host shows before. The first one was a train wreck because of what happened. I told you that was with Dan Graziano.
But that was outside of your own doings, right? I mean, there was like some bizarre
topic. But I knew
that
going into
right before the show.
Yeah, but I knew going into that show that I was going to drive that show.
Yeah.
I was going to host that show. And I've done it a couple different times. I don't like it at all because the one thing I do struggle with is, and it used to drive me crazy, is how do I find a way to open the show? Like, there has to be a unique way to open. Like, every radio show has, the person that hosts it has kind of like their own unique way of opening their show. Like, you have your own unique way, Colin Cowherd. Like, Kay has his own way, and I could never come up with something that I liked to open up the show.
Mm-hmm. And that certainly didn't happen today, right?
No, I did. No. I'm not even joking. I almost considered shutting the machine down and pretending to just go in dark.
And what would happen?
I don't know.
Play commercials. When he's there, we'll do the show.
Would it be the first time that
no,
happened?
It would not.
Bye-bye.
Heard about that. All right, so a lot to get into today. Observations. I found a great, I don't think it's a knob-worthy story, but a great story. I saw this last time. I was like, wow, this is wild. We'll get into that a little bit later. Maybe I'll bring it up prior to Observations at 6:45. The great Buster only going to join us at 7 o'clock this morning. Today is what? March 11th, 2021. It's a year. A year to the day. Do you remember? We were in the 10 to 1 slot. That's
you never know.
Moved. 9 to 1. I remember being on the air. Now, is today the day that like the Big East tournament played the first half? Was it St. John's and maybe Creighton? And we were on the air saying, how are they shutting everything down?
I think it was the next day. I think it would be tomorrow.
Was March the 12th?
I mean, you ask me questions I don't have answers to.
Well, I thought today was the day that it all shut down, no? That a year ago to the day is the last that we saw sports for months and months and months.
Well, I know. Listen, I can tell you one thing for certain. This is the eve of a big day. We all realize that. I mean, if anyone should know exactly what happened on a certain day, it's you. I mean, this year we're on the verge of a Dave Rothenberg birthday.
Yeah, tomorrow's a big day. Do you have anything special planned?
Well, no, I'm not going to give it. Yeah, I mean, I've got something special planned, but I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not
you
looking
now.
For you to give it away. Just the fact that there is hopefully something special to be planned for my big birthday.
How could I not? I mean, 50 is a big one.
I'm not quite 50 yet, though.
Are we sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. Unless I missed a couple. Yeah. That'd be terrible. Could you imagine if you woke up one day and you'd missed birthdays?
Well, I don't even feel like I told Cassie. I'm not even recognizing last birthday with what was going on.
Yeah, this is going to be my second birthday that's going to be pandemic ruined.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that kind of stinks. But yeah, no, it was a year ago today that the whole thing shut down. And I mean, it's a year. It's so weird because I feel like this has been the longest year and the quickest year. And I could see both arguments. Like, this year has flown by, but this year felt like it dragged in a certain way also, doesn't it?
I don't know about that. I mean, it feels like it, but it's the same thing I say about, you know, when you have kids, the first thing I was told is the days feel like they take forever,
yes.
But the years
yes.
fly by. That's how it feels. Like, trying to get through the days is not easy, but then all of a sudden, you know, we're here today doing the show, and it's been a year.
Can you believe that we didn't? I mean, when did sports come back? What was the first? Like, remember we had those weird tennis matches where they'd be like in the middle of the jungle, and then I guess soccer came back a little bit. But what
if it, it was in like Buena Vista, like
it was
like
weird,
condominiums.
Though. It was weird because it wasn't like right next to the condos. It was like just a court that was over on its own side, and they had them, and it was like the official who was, you know, 6 feet sitting in the air in the high chair. And you didn't have ball boys or anything. It was very, very strange. You had that and like third level tennis professionals. But what was it baseball was the first real thing to come back?
Was baseball the first real thing to come back? I don't know. Didn't we get in this conversation? I mean, that was the whole conversation, right? Was that the sooner, like, this was an opportunity for baseball to be the first back.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kept dragging it on and on and on.
They took forever. They totally screwed it up. Baseball came back, like, I think it was like July 20th. So we went, you know what's amazing? Because this is me. I don't know if you have this as well. Like, bad things, they happen. And it's awful. And then when you get past them, you never remember how awful, in fact, it was. Like, we went, what, half of March, April, May, June, and half of July. So we went really like four or five full months, Rick. With nothing sports related, no games, nothing to discuss.
Well, no, I mean, we still had good shows. I mean, that was the amazing part was we were putting shows. I mean, we were putting 3-hour shows together. I don't even know if it might have been 2-hour shows together with nothing.
No, it was
like,
three.
No, with no sports happening at all.
3 full-hour shows with no sports happening.
This was almost the equivalent. Like, this is the sports equivalent of when your wife gives birth and then can't wait to have another one. And you're like, did you not just remember what, like, I just watched what happened.
Yeah.
You want to do that again?
That's right. But I think when things are really bad, sometimes you forget how bad, in fact, they were. And you're just like, well, you know, let's do that again. Do you not remember? It's like whenever I go to lift something now, Cher's like, don't. You're back. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. She's like, do you remember the excruciating pain that you were in before you had your surgery? She's like, no, it'll be fine. Because I think we forget sometimes when things are just that awful. And we had no sports for 5 months.
Yeah, we had nothing. I mean, it was depressing. It really was. And I think, I mean, for me personally, I think, you know, sports fans in general, I mean, you took it for granted that you could turn on the TV whenever you wanted and watch live sports. And then all of a sudden you didn't have it. And how much, like, I mean, just remember after that, like the first couple weeks, you're like, oh my God, is this, are we serious now? We have nothing to watch? And you're going through every streaming, Netflix, whatever
right.
it is, trying to find
I mean,
shows
we watched
to binge.
Everything. I get a great tweet from Hinky Haynes. It was bad when we were watching and analyzing Korean baseball at all hours of the day and the night.
I did like the KBO, though. Why is it? Here's a good question for you, Dave. I, you know, obviously get drafted by the Islanders, buy a house, commit full in, you know, all in. I'm going to be a New York sports fan and everything else. I picked the Mets, who, I mean,
it's not
the
such
Mets.
An awful selection.
The Knicks.
Yeah, that's not so good.
The Jets.
That has not been a great selection yet.
And yet, you know, KBO. Haven't even watched the game, and I pick the Dinos who win the championship. How's that possible?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not great. Not great selection process. If you could go back now, would you adjust your teams?
No.
Or you're so locked in that you couldn't envision
I'm locked
adjusting
in.
Them.
Dialed in. You should have seen me last night.
I still don't understand how you were like in your 20s before you adopted professional teams.
I was never in a place long enough to adopt a team.
But
I
you're
told
from
you,
Boston.
I would
just think that,
I'm not
like,
from
you're
Boston.
Born and you're a Red Sox fan.
I'm not from Boston, though. I was born in Maine. I was born in Maine, moved to Boston, moved to Chicago, back to Boston, then to Michigan, and then to New York.
But how old were you when you lived in Boston?
I lived in Boston twice. I was young.
So the first time in Boston, how old?
I was probably, it was when my brother was born. So my brother, we're 3.5 years apart. So I was probably, I don't know, like four.
Four till when?
Four to maybe, but it's probably 2 years, two
so
or three
four
years.
To six, yeah, I guess that's probably when you're starting to form that bond with those teams. And then you went from Boston to Chicago at six.
Well, maybe less than that. No, because I can remember in '86 when the Mets won. I remember actually watching the World Series in Chicago.
Okay, so you weren't
so
in
I was
Boston
in Chicago.
For that. And then you're Chicago from six to when?
Six till I moved back to Boston, 9 or 10.
And then Boston.
I was 15.
The redo. See, I'm surprised there you didn't become a Boston sports fan. I'm surprised 9 to 15 you did not become everything Boston.
Yeah, but at that point, I hadn't adopted a team, so I was adopting players. Like I told you, I loved Jody Reed. I loved Andy Moog. Like, I loved Andy Moog, dude. Like, I had every piece of equipment, like from top to bottom, was all Andy Moog, like exactly like Andy Moog. I had the helmet. My dad bought me the first one. They finally came out with the real goalie helmets that you see now. That was all I wanted, but they were super expensive. And my dad, like, I finally talked him into getting me one, and it was a gorgeous helmet. I had it painted just like Andy Moog's mask. It was until, of course, I had the one game, and I'm a young kid. I'm probably at that time, maybe 11 years old. So I wear this fancy new helmet. It had this panther on it with the mouth open. It was gorgeous. Had a bad game. The coach comes in the locker room. I'm 11 years old. And like grabs the helmet and slams it on the ground. Good thing you got this fancy helmet. Didn't do bleep for you tonight. And like slams it. Oh, yeah. Destroyed me. Destroyed me in front of the entire team.
This says a lot.
You wonder why I'm a mess.
Was that worse, that or your dad holding his nose when you allowed a goal?
Dad, I mean, it's your dad. Your dad holding your nose.
How old were you?
From the time I can remember playing hockey,
So when you were like 5 years old, you'd let a bad goal in and you'd look up to the crowd and your dad would be holding his nose?
Five, probably not as early as five. Just because I mean, that was, it's definitely seven.
Oh my God, really?
Oh yeah.
And that was his thing? Like that was the staple? Like you allowed a bad goal and you'd look up holding his nose?
That, and it was even worse, like when he would, if I was playing well, he'd stand up the entire game. And he'd always stand away from parents, so I would always see where he was. He would stand up, and then as soon as I let in a bad one, or I wasn't playing good, he would sit down, which was the sign that you stink.
Your entire knowledge of whether your dad liked the way you were playing or not was whether he was standing good, sitting down, bad.
Exactly right. Or then all of a sudden, if it was really bad, he gave you the two fingers in the nose, you stink.
Oh, so if he's sitting with fingers over the nose, now you know you are. Yeah, at the depths of how bad it can get.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What was the song that made you weep in your car that one morning?
That's Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson. Yep. I wish I would have been next to you on the road. Like, I would have thought there's clearly an unstable guy just weeping in his car.
Dude, this wasn't like one tear. This was full blown.
So what? Like, you were in a mood and you heard the song and like a certain note and things came like rushing back. Like, what happened?
I have no idea. I have like the words of the song for some reason. Like, they hit me, and I was on the Cross Bronx for like an hour and 10 minutes at that point, not moving. And the song came on, and for some reason, the words just hit me the right way.
I wish. Could you imagine the guy next to you? He's sitting there, he's having his coffees, he's angry, like a trucker, like, oh, come on. And he looks next to him, and a man is just weeping in his car. Like, were you heaving? Was your body shaking to the
rhythm? Yes. This is a full meltdown.
Like if I was just sitting there quietly in the backseat, I would have heard like
yeah, this wasn't one of those ones like where you're watching a movie with your kids and like every
and you
Disney,
can hide it because you're embarrassed. Yeah.
Like every Disney movie where the parent dies, like it crushes me every time, but I don't want my kids to see me weeping, so I kind of like keep it to myself. But this was like I was just by myself. And just needed a good cry.
Just needed a good cry. streaming down your face, right?
Yeah, which is amazing because that's like a, like when my, like, so my parents are divorced. So when my parents got divorced, like emotionally kind of like just destroyed me. So like I very rarely have I ever like got to that point emotionally where I would have a breakdown. But maybe since I had kids, that's all you take all that and throw it out the window.
In ways that you can't even imagine. Now, I don't know that you just hear random songs and it makes you weep. I find that to be odd. But I will say kids changes you to a point where you never thought you could go.
Yeah, anything, though, especially having a daughter now. Like, for some reason, I just, like, she said the cutest thing to me yesterday. And it was like, have you seen that commercial yet where the dad's, you know, he's dancing with his daughter at her wedding? And it goes through, like, when she was, and then all of a sudden he starts thinking, like, back in time when she was born.
Those kill me. I don't
know.
That
was the first thing that I thought.
Specifically, but those kill me. And all, just wait till you wake up one day and she's, like, 14.
No, I mean, then we're going to have, yeah, that's going to be real issues for me.
Have you ever seen the one where there's, like, a song and the dad plays it for the kid when he's a kid? And then they fast forward through the kid's life. And then, like, he hears the song years later. And he's like, oh, God, Dad. Lee shakes his eyes at him. And then he has a kid. And he plays the song for his kid. And he calls his dad. He's like, Dad, listen to what we're listening to. Like, those moments is just, it's a lot for me. Now, I don't typically weep just, you know, listening to random music in the
Well, Dad,
I'll
tell you right now. Santi, throw on Because of You. I'm telling you, Dave will start crying like a baby.
I'm not going to cry.
What's worse, Crier?
At least I was parked and I had the breakdown, as opposed to the guy, my Uber driver with Alan, that was singing a song.
Yeah, that's worse. I'll give you that's worse.
It didn't hit the entire time.
When I was a kid, little kid, and my teams would lose, I would cry. I mean, full on cry, which is strange, but I don't know that it's any stranger than you as an adult sitting in your car listening to whatever you were listening to, just starting to sob.
No, it's Kelly Clarkson because of you. I don't know what. Listen, I can't tell you why. I need help. You know this. Like, someone needs to get into this brain and like break it down and tell.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's no lie. Hey, I will say this though too. Yesterday, and this has happened the last couple of weeks with the show. Is like we'll do something on the show like the rectal thermometer and stuff like that.
Yep. I am thermometer boy right now.
When you had the nervous breakdown with Canty because we cheated on The Price is Right, or
you're a cheater. Supposedly, it was cheating. It's fine. But for the rest, it was good for the show, but you cheated.
But for the rest of the day, like the things that are said on the show will come up in my mind and I'll just start laughing.
Those are great.
Yeah, but yesterday was that day again.
And what happened?
Cassie's like, what are you laughing about? I was like, Dave told the story today. And she's like, well, you got to tell me the story now. And I was like, at Dave's wedding, his grandmother walked up to Sherry and told her, I hope you really love him because he's never going to have money.
Yeah. I mean, she was like, he's a wonderful young man. He's nice. He's kind. He's loyal. But just know that you better be marrying him for love because he doesn't have, nor will he ever have any money. Like, could you? Early risers will get work. I mean, can you imagine saying that though?
No,
that's a terrible thing to say about. I'm her grandson. Like, if she would speak about me like that, what is she saying about people that she didn't love?
I almost feel like at this point, your grandmother's passed, correct?
Yes.
I think we need to go. Should we go trash talk her a little bit? Like, look at me now, Grandma.
Yeah.
Like a little some of that?
Yeah. I mean, look at me. Look at what I've accomplished. I'm waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing, 5 a.m. radio, New York City, Nana.
Yeah, Nanny. I'm a
Take
big
that.
Star, Nana. Hey, be careful with that Nana stuff. I don't know. We may not be allowed to say, Nana, Mom, and Dad anymore, where this thing is trending.
What are you talking about?
I told you about that story this morning.
Well, tell everyone. What's the story?
Well, no, there's a story in the Post this morning that, we're headed down this road. We had the Mr. Potato Head thing and everything else, but now there's actually a school in New York City that sent out a letter, 12-page letter, kind of outlining, what words they would like people to use and what words they wouldn't like to be used. It's a 12-page guide, and apparently they would like, the kids to stop using words like mom and dad and parents.
Wait, how are you supposed to refer to your mom and dad?
Well, it's because these words, mom, dad, and parents, make assumptions about kids' home lives.
So yes, the assumption is you have parents.
Well, it's suggested now that mom and dad, instead of that, at this school, it should be grown-ups, folks, or family.
So I was with the grown-ups last night? What, isn't that an assumption, though? You're assuming there's a grown-up in the house? What happens if you're taken care of by your 20-year-old brother?
See, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point.
We're just looking for reasons to be offended by things at this point.
Yes, exactly correct. Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, enough is enough, please.
I mean, the assumption is you have a mom and or a dad. And most people have one or the other. Most.
Or maybe you have both. Maybe you have two moms or two dads. I mean, that's
who cares?
Too. I mean, I play with a guy, one of my good friends, good defenseman, too. He had two moms. And they were awesome. Awesome. I mean, I don't know, man.
It feels like it's a little bit much.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I did something which upset my wife very much, and she blames me for. So I'm napping yesterday. I come downstairs, and when you wake up from the nap, you're kind of like, like a little disheveled, and it takes a moment to get your bearings. And she says, this is because of you. I said, what? What's because of me? And she says, did you check your email? Nope. There was a letter that went out to the entire district. It's entirely because of you. So, how I'm in this battle with this woman. We're battling who can get our child first from school. Now, I don't know if she knows about the battle, but I certainly do. And I fell down 6 weeks to none, of which I've rattled off 9 weeks in a row. And this week is in the bag as well. So I'm up 10 weeks to six. 10-week winning streak.
Which would suggest that she has no idea that she's actually in the competition.
She might not, or I might just be so good at the game. So I have to pick Alex up at 3, But I leave the house, and Sherry's like, well, you're leaving the house. It's 2:20. I'll leave at 2:20, 2:25 to get him, to make sure that I get him before this woman gets her daughter. An email goes out. You want me to read you without mentioning the names of the school and the particulars, some of this email from yesterday that was
Yeah, I mean, out? The audience needs to hear it. I read it, and it may as well. I mean, once they hear it, it should just say your name on it. Because
it's all your fault!
Yeah, because of Dave Rothenberg, this is what's going to have to happen now.
A few reminders about dismissal and arrival that will continue to keep our school community safe and efficient. Please wear a mask, which I do, so that's not directed at me, while dropping off and picking up your child. This is for your safety and our faculty and staff. Below are very important dismissal reminders, and this is in bold. Please do not arrive at the school until 2:45 on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Please do not arrive at the school until at least 11:15, because it's 11:30 dismissal on Wednesdays. Please do not park along the baseball field, parking lot, or the staff parking lot. By following these friendly reminders, we will keep HCC's dismissal and our dismissal safe and efficient. So there you have it. So this is pretty much
this is you.
Because of me, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, they honestly could have just sent you the email.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I've battled security. I've been through a lot. But you know what? This is the difference. Seeing my kid's face every day at 3 o'clock and being out of there when there's a line down the block before anybody else, that's victory, baby. That's victory.
Yeah, but how many cars are actually there when you pull up? Because you're obviously there way before 15 minutes. I mean, you're there a half hour before you're supposed to be.
Half hour, that's right.
So how many cars are there when you get there?
No, probably less than five.
Okay, so you're the only one. You're the ringleader.
This is all about me. This is all about me and my complete dysfunction. All right, let's get to a little bit of actual sports, shall we? So I have a real problem with this, and I don't know how you feel. A real problem with this. Texas, full fans, 100% capacity. This is where we're going. And this to me, and I'm sorry, and I understand that people want to get back out and live their lives, and that's fine. 100% capacity, Rick. I mean, are you serious?
No, they're serious. I mean, you see what's going on in Texas.
Come on.
I mean, Texas is fully open. I mean, you no longer have to wear a mask in Texas. It looks like in order to go to these games, you will have to wear a mask, and there'll be a three strike policy on warnings about the mask.
And who's going to employ the policy? They're going to have like a big notepad where it's like, all right, Steve, that's his second. I mean, come on.
No, I would imagine it's going to be security guards. And if they see you three times, if they've asked you twice already and you continue to take the mask off or down, they'll say, okay, that's the third strike. You're out of here. That's what I would guess.
So you don't see this being an issue? You don't see people going to a baseball game
and drinking
a lot of beer and a group of, because now you can have full people. So now you'll have, crowds of 15, 20, 25 buddies going to a game. And now security is going to have to come over to a crowd of potentially belligerent guys and say, excuse me, this is the second time I've seen your mask down. One more strike against you and you're going to have to leave the game.
Yeah, but what are the chances you have your mask on, period? I mean, how much time do you spend during a baseball game not eating or drinking?
None. Okay. And they've told you. Full capacity? I mean, so we sit here, and in New York, we're going to have 10% capacity. And in Texas, it's back to normal now?
I mean, each state's making their own decisions.
It seems irresponsible to me.
But the best you can hope for is that it actually, that they have full capacity and they have no issues.
Well, of course that's the best. But why? And I heard Kay and the guys talking about this yesterday. We've almost made it. We talked about it's a year ago we shut down sports. We had to go 4 or 5 months with no sports. We're talking about the KBO and baseball returns, and we are doing backflips. We're so excited. So we've gone through the hell of what this thing was. We're a year later. We have a vaccine. You can see the end. And now you have to play Russian roulette? Why? Why wouldn't you just wait until it's completely safe? Because it's not completely safe. You can't sit here and tell me that the CDC says, yeah, let's have crowds of 50,000 gathering at different places and locations.
No, I mean, no, that's not the case at all. I mean, the Astros aren't going to open it up full capacity. I mean, they'll progressively have more and more fans.
It's just
games.
The Texas Rangers that are doing this, right?
Dave, what is the one thing that's become abundantly clear since the pandemic started when we talk about sports? The most important things for these leagues and these teams is money.
Yes.
And, I mean, would you rather have it where, Major League Baseball steps in and has, a certain certain standards that each team has this many fans that are allowed in games? That would make more sense, because clearly they have no issue with the competitive balance and advantage of having a place where the stadium is completely full as opposed to, you know, one of the other places that has, you know, 10% capacity. That's not fair. That's not fair either.
It's not fair.
They don't care.
It's not fair. It's not even a little bit fair. But I can't fathom the fact that you're going to have stadiums and they're going to open this up. And people going is one thing, but sometimes you have to make the smart and prudent decision and kind of save people from themselves. And to say, yeah, let's have 50,000 people at games. It just, I can't believe that we're here. And Donnie said yesterday that we're first in goal. Like, you can see the end, so why not do the prudent thing, do the wise thing and the smart thing and the safer thing and say, you want to say half capacity? You know, fine. But full? I mean, you're going to open this thing up all the way? I can't. I mean, I understand that money rules the day, Rick, but I can't fathom that this is where we are now.
No, but I mean, we're in a different place than some of these states, though. I mean, we're in a different spot than Florida. I mean, I had a buddy call me yesterday who's in Florida for, you know, a couple of weeks. They rented a house on vacation, and he said he took his kids, you know, he took his kids to the park, and they had masks on. And, you know, the people at the park were actually said to him, like, what are you doing wearing masks?
They like, looked down at them for wearing masks?
Yeah, they left the park. He got uncomfortable. But each state has its own set of rules and guidelines.
Yeah, but the state is supposed to be the you know, like the safe place. The people can sometimes lose their composure and act the way they shouldn't act. And I think that we are very good here. Like in New York, I rarely, if ever, go anywhere into a supermarket anywhere where people are not fully masked. I think you're kind of looked down on if you're not, which I like, right? Like the expectation is you're going to wear a mask. But, I mean, a full capacity baseball stadium now, when we're so close to getting past this, can you tell me that this won't be a super spreader event? You can't say that.
No, you can't guarantee that. No, I mean, what you're doing, though, is you're giving the, you know, people the ability to choose. And listen, I agree with you. Like, I mean, we're so close.
It's so dangerous,
and
though.
We've waited so long. You're not wrong, but I mean, I guess their argument would be, and we're going to allow people the opportunity to make that choice.
But why? Why are they going to allow it? And you know,
money.
It, same as money. So that's it. So they're going to say the extra money is worth it to sacrifice the potential health. And God knows what happens. We know how this thing spreads. I mean, God forbid somebody has it, passes it along. There's no vaccine, you know, for certain people or certain ages. And all of a sudden it spreads like wildfire, which it absolutely could. Is that worth it when we're here, when you can see the end?
Dave, you're talking to someone that had it and still has no idea with how much, you know, the precautions that I take, how I got it. So, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. But that, I mean, that's from, you know, my in-laws are from Florida. Like, I know, like, I have friends in Florida. Like, their argument to me is we want to make our own choices. We don't want to be told what to do. If we want to risk going out without a mask and deal with the repercussions if we do get it, that we want it that
but
to be our decision.
But here's the difference, and we'll leave it at this. It's not like you're just affecting yourself. It's not like it's, you know what, if I go out and I don't wear a mask, now I'm at a higher danger and I'm hurting myself. That's not the case. If I go out without a mask, I'm putting you in as much trouble or peril or danger as I am in. So you're taking everyone else's life into your own hands as well. And therein lies the difference, at least for me.
And I'm on the same page as you, but I'm just telling you what the arguments I've heard are. Like, I want to be given the opportunity to make that choice as opposed to being told what to do. And if you're someone like, if Dave Rothenberg now all of a sudden decided to pick up and move to Florida, it would be your choice to take all the appropriate precautions. Like, if you weren't comfortable going, you know, going to a grocery store now because you had a bunch of people walking around with no masks, you'd have to obviously, you know, order your groceries or whatever it ended up being. Or, like, I don't feel comfortable going out to eat yet.
I haven't.
I haven't either.
We went out one time to eat in the summer after a baseball game, and we sat outside way away from anybody else. One time in the last year we've gone outside.
Well, I mean, we did it yesterday. Like, how we eat outside is we'll go pick up the food, and then we'll, you know, open up the back of the truck, and the kids will sit and have a picnic or something like that. But we're not sitting in a But again, I had my mother-in-law up here. I mean, my niece and they're fine going to dinner. Yeah, we go out at least once, twice a week to dinner. It's just a different mindset, man. I mean, it depends on where you are in the country now.
Listen, and I get that, but a stadium of 50,000, it's mind-boggling, as the great Joe Namath would say. Let's go to Chris in Suffolk. Chris, you're first up. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, DCR?
What's up? What's going on, Chris?
I think this is great for sports to start to get back to normal. I mean, we gotta start moving forward. We gotta stop being judgmental, man. Listen, if people want to go, people want to go. you know, that's give us, you know, it's about time we got our, you know, our right to choose, you know, what we're doing back. And you know, the sports suffered a lot. I mean, listen, I know there's a lot of money involved with sports, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's hurt them, you know, as much as other people, but it did suffer a lot, and you know, good for them getting back to normal.
It doesn't seem premature to you, though, Chris? It doesn't feel like we're doing this in Texas? I mean, no other stadium is going and doing something like this, and just Texas is saying, you know what, let's open it up, full stadiums.
I mean, there's no one doing 100% capacity. I mean, there are other, I mean, you got, you know, Colorado doing, you know, 43% capacity.
But like, I get that. That makes more sense to me. 40%, okay, I can get my arms around that. And no, we want it. My question is it the smart thing to do? Is it the safe thing to do? And if it wasn't financial, if Major League Baseball said, you know what, you have 40% capacity, and we will subsidize the rest and make up whatever financial difference you're making, you think that they wouldn't say, all right, that's fine? Like, they're doing it for one reason and one reason only, in my mind.
No, I think the Texas Rangers are doing it for the money. And, I mean, part of me also feels like the Major League Baseball may be allowing them to do it almost as like a test case to see how, I mean, to see what happens if they do have 100% capacity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what's dangerous about that, though, is rather than do it like, you know, start at, you know, 30% and then move your way up to...
No, we're going to ramp it right up.
Well, exactly right. And now all of a sudden... It could be a negative thing if this thing doesn't. It could be great if it works and we have no issues. It doesn't become a super spreader and everything else. Now it would signal to, you know, all these other teams that it's safe.
Well, I mean, which is great. But is great. What happens if you have the flip side happen? Exactly. What happens if you have an event and it becomes a super spreader event? Now where do you go? You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Well, yeah. Now you made all this progress to all of a sudden now taking steps back. Because it doesn't make sense. It's not ready to happen yet.
This is going to be a great call. I can't wait for this. 87 years old, Fred in the Bronx. Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh,
thanks
very
for calling,
well.
Fred.
Before I say anything, I wanted to say I want to commend Stephen A. Smith. Yesterday he took his shot. I took my shot back in November. I volunteered. I got my second shot in December, and I've been feeling great.
Well, that's wonderful.
I'm a Korean veteran, and you were talking earlier about growing up and moving around the different cities. Well, I grew up in the Bronx, and back in those days, back in the 30s, we played ball in the streets and everything. They didn't have a lot of cars. We did a lot of different things. But today, what kids can't do today. And I said, Casey Stengel ruined baseball for me when he started this platooning and left-handed. We memorized our batting averages and our lineups and everything. Baseball was a game that your best players played. That was it. You knew your lineups. You knew who was going to pitch. They pitched a full game. Now everything is pampered. I can't watch baseball anymore.
It's very different, Fred. So I guess it's fair to say, and thanks so much for the call. And great, 87 years old, listening, waking up, listening to our show, volunteering, all that stuff. But I guess he's not a fan of the analytics of Major League Baseball.
Well, no, I think it's less about the analytics. Well, I guess.
Right, and that's what it stems from. Taking out Blake Snell when he's pitching a gem in the World Series is not Fred's cup of tea.
No, I don't think it's not my cup of tea either.
No, nobody drinks that kind of tea.
But here's the thing, though, too. I mean, it's also a result of how much money you're spending on these players. The financial investment you have in the players. In trying to keep them healthy. And that's what it comes down to.
Hey, guys, listen, the truth is, guys didn't used to get hurt like this. I don't know for what reason. But for the most part, I don't know if they didn't throw as hard or they just used the arm and it was just the norm, or they were hurt.
They didn't
hurt
do as they, much. They didn't do as much. I mean, yeah, I'm seeing kids now. I'm coaching high school hockey. I'm seeing like the amount of hockey these
seeing
kids play.
Seeing it's just overwork and overuse.
It's overwork. These guys don't take time off. They don't. Like, these guys train 12 months a year. Like, they never give themselves time to recover. They come into camp in, like, the expectation now is you come to camp in game shape.
Right.
When before, you take time off. You know, guys would play, like a lot of the, you know, old-time Islander guys, they'd play tennis, they'd ride a bike, they'd do some push-ups and some sit-ups, but they use training camp as a way to get into shape. Now, if you don't, like, dude, I mean, back when I first got to the Islanders, if you came in and you were above 10% body fat, you were in fat camp. So not only did you have to practice, you had to go ride the bike or the, you know, the elliptical after practice to lose the body fat.
Yeah, and guys used to have off-season jobs, right? Yeah, like exactly. in Major League Baseball and NHL. Off-season jobs, like working in department stores and wherever. So, yeah, very, very, very different. Jets fans, enter for your chance to win an authentic Jets helmet signed by new head coach Robert Saleh. To enter, visit NewYorkJets.com from now until Monday, March 15th at 11:59 p.m. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the U.S., 18 years or older at the time of entry. John in Valley Stream. Good morning, John. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to let you know, I want to express my appreciation and gratitude. You guys, you know, it's been a year since everything shut down, and you guys have been seamless, entertaining. I've been working throughout the pandemic. I drive trucks, and I've been listening to you guys religiously. I just wanted to express my gratitude and appreciation for what you guys have done, keeping us entertained, keeping me uplifted and a positive vibe. And hopefully, you know, when you guys have a live event, I'll be able to send you guys over a drink. You know, Dave, I'll get you Sea Breeze, and Rick, I'll get you Main Street.
But I don't know why. I mean, it was such a nice call, too. It was a anyway, lovely call, listen, John. Why did you have to go there? Why?
I don't know, Dave. I had to give you a little rip. I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask Rick a quick question. You know, Rick, I called a while ago, and you explained to me, like, the pyramid of, you know, how kids, like, you know, through the years, you know, the pyramid kind of gets thinner and thinner, you know, how you got better. I was just kind of wondering, coaching high school right now, coaching these kids, are you seeing anybody? Are you seeing these kids throughout in Long Island or, you know, any of these players that you think could ascend to the next level? Do you see any talent that's really ascending right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Johnny, we love you. John. Thanks for calling, man. I would say this, the issue right now with hockey in Long Island is, and I've been fighting this battle, is that we end up losing our best players. Like, our best players I'll lose a handful of guys this year to, you know, to boarding schools that end up going to like a full, like a prep school.
So the best of the best are not staying and playing Portlaige hockey.
Exactly. We're trying to change that. But I mean, it helps that we have, I mean, LIU having the, you know, having Division I hockey now in our backyard will help.
You didn't get that job though, right?
No, I did not get that job, no.
That's unfortunate. I tried.
I can't even get on a hockey show. You know what the biggest thing I noticed, Dave, and you got to do me a favor and do this with your kids, and I think you will because you're smart enough, is the other part of what I see now is the parents are so focused on skill.
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the college scholarship?
Oh, all that. Oh, I did a goalie camp where the kid was 11 years old. And the dad's like, should I start writing, you know, letters to BU and BC? I'm like, no, you should not start writing letters to BU and BC. Stop it. No, but they're so focused on skill development, which is important.
Sure.
But you also have to work on actually having, like, a hockey IQ or, like, understanding, you know, how to play the actual sport. Like, you can skate really fast and have great hands and everything else, but if you don't know, you know, where to be in certain spots or how the game works, you're not going to have it's useless.
Yeah, you know what I think? I don't think that kids watch enough of the game outside of playing the game. And that's Sherry hammers home to Alex. She's like, you know, there's a lacrosse game on now. You should watch it. You should watch it. You should see how other people play and watch the game from kind of, you know, that vantage point of seeing what other people do in certain situations. And I think it helps him.
No, it absolutely helps. I'm telling you right now, it absolutely helps him. Like, I'll ask questions like, oh, what are you doing on the power play, coach? I'm like, okay, I want you here, you here, you here. I'm like, okay, you're over here. You're the, you know, you're the Alexander Ovechkin spot on the power play. And he's like, where's that? I'm like, do you watch hockey? No,
a lot
really.
Of the kids don't.
It's amazing to me.
A lot of the kids don't. And if they do, they don't. They watch like the TikTok version of it, right? Like, just give me the highlight. Give me the dunk where he went from you know, the foul line or the three-pointer from half court. They don't look at the nuances of the game. They really don't.
But which is the most important? The best players in any sport are the ones that know, like, that have that understanding. Like, the reason why Sidney Crosby is Sidney Crosby, yeah, he can skate, he can pass, he can shoot and everything else. It's because he sees the game so much clearer than everybody else.
100%.
Like, he knows where he needs to be, where the puck's going to go.
And it's those rare few that are so unbelievably talented, coupled with just the knowledge of the game and the nuance of the game. And those are your special, special players.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7. 7.